One week has passed, and now we have another new world champion. Who is it? Do you like it? But better yet, here's a better question. What is the greatest WrestleMania match of all time? Our greatest WrestleMania match bracket is kicking off this episode, and that starts right now. Coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York, this is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. the Canadian Strongman, Chris No Bravo. The greatest WrestleMania match tournament kicks off tonight. We do have another world champion, as I said, but we don't do anything without the virtual clink, baby. Keeping it safe, as usual. Drinking from our homes, but we're still celebrating in spirit. Cheers to everybody out there. And Chris, like I said, to kick it off, we have another new world champion in a week's time.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody saw it coming with Bobby Lashley winning on Raw. I'm surprised at a few things about it. You know, when we talked about how it would go down, we kind of predicted that Bad Bunny would influence the outcome and interfere and cost Miz the match. And that's not what happened. If for those who watched Raw, we saw that the first time they attempted the match that night, Miz ran away and got counted out. Then they made it a lumberjack match for the main event, and Bobby Lashley just completely dominated the match. That the way they went about it caught me a little off guard, but I do get it on the other hand. Like they're trying to make a really strong heel and Lashley, and you know, because they got a setup for him, and I assume him and Drew at WrestleMania, Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley, new WWE champion.
Yeah, I mean, they teased it all night, and it was like almost Miz was running away from the inevitable. If I love saying this, but had I put money on Miz losing the title, I would have been like, Bad Bunny's definitely going to do that so they can get into the Mania match. And again, this is why I probably don't book any territories. So I liked it in the long run, you know, and then hindsight being 2020 as usual. But when you look at it, I like that Bad Bunny didn't interfere because you want to put Lashley over strong, and you did that. You accomplished that. You know what? The Hurt Business has been incredibly hot the last few months. Putting Lashley with MVP was the best thing he could have did for him, giving him a mouthpiece, giving him these other guys. And the Hurt Business is on top, man. You got the tag team champions with Alexander and Benjamin. You have the world champion in Lashley. And listen, like I've said this before, and I've said this in the past, I am not the biggest Lashley fan. I do like the work that he did in Impact, where he got more seasoned. He upped his game. He's actually deserving of this world title run. And I'll say that with no bullshit, you know, and like I said, I'm not his biggest fan. I'm really not. But he showed me in the last few months with MVP what they could do with him if they used him right. Turn him into a monster. They have this big guy. He has the look. He has the size. He has the athleticism. And he's a legit world champion when you look at him.
Yeah.
And him and Drew, with, like we said, Brock Lashley winning with Drew chasing the title, going into Mania, if that's where they're going, is going to be good. It's going to be a good match. It's going to be good for Drew. It's going to be good for Lashley. And you realize that Lashley is only the third WWE world champion in history, if I'm right. I mean, Mark Henry was, but he was the world heavyweight champion, the big gold belt.
You mean African-American champion?
Yeah. So what did I say?
Well, you just left that part out. You said he's the third WWE world champion in history.
Because I see no color, as the stupid people say. Uh-huh. But, you know, we do. Let's be obvious, right? But that's it's a great accomplishment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's great for him, for his career. It's a nice feather in the cap for him, and it was deserving of where he was in the run. Now, that being said, a lot of people are calling Miz one of the worst world champions of all time with his two combined reigns. We knew what it was. He's a transitional champion. Right, he wasn't going to carry this belt to Mania. You could see that the writing's on the wall. Any legit fan could see the writing on the wall. So let's not shit all over WWE's plans and what they're doing. More importantly, the thing I'm tired of, and I don't want to spend too much time into this because we got some good shit planned right now. The people that are crapping all over this match, more importantly, again, Dave Meltzer. And again, I'm not a Dave Meltzer hater, but what I've said before is he does nothing. This anti-WWE agenda, Chris, I don't know how you feel about this. I'm really getting sick of it. And Alvarez and Meltzer are at the head of the line, spearheading this movement of just crapping on everything WWE does and really touting how great AEW is. And what they're doing is they're influencing those teetotals, those fans, those marks who are anti-WWE because it's popular to be anti-WWE. They shit all over everything they do, but praise everything that AEW does. You know, and he tweets out after this on Monday, a 6-minute world title match, as if it was something to be, you know, like it was bad because it was only 6 minutes. And, you know, people jump in the comments as usual. And there were some people defending him, mostly people saying, you know, AEW would never do this, blah, 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 of course. You know, my problem is like, okay, so it wasn't 27 minutes long. We're like 18 kickouts and like 80 high spots, so you don't like it. It wasn't in the Tokyo Dome, so you don't like it. Or was the fact that it was just 6 minutes, they made this guy look incredibly strong, but it's because it's WWE, you don't like it. And I'm just, I'm not saying this is the greatest wrestling match ever, okay? But it didn't need to have all false finishes, kicking out of finishes. This is what it needed to be. It got the job done. But we're still going to crap on it because it's WWE. And, you know, and it's not, he's not the first person to win a match in single digits, you know, in terms of minutes. Diesel, Sam Martino, Hogan,
yeah.
Right? I mean, let's just stop it, right? Brock, and, you know, like, this is
Goldberg.
Not, you know, I'm really just sick of this anti-WWE sentiment because it's cool. And I'm not saying everything that WWE does is great. Listen, I'm a WWE guy through and through since I was a kid. But I'll call them out when it's crap. But I'm also not going to crap on it for the sake of crapping on it. I like AEW. I don't think everything AEW is great either. But I think it's cool to like both promotions without having to shit on one or the other.
Well, what I would say to those who champion AEW over everything else, especially WWE, is explain to me what makes it so much better. You know, I'm with you. I like AEW. I like that there's another company that represents something that's, you know, could be different. It represents competition, and it's something that I think us wrestling fans have been missing for a long time. And AEW seems like it can be something that can be around for a long time. With that said, when I watch AEW, I don't see what makes that such a better program than WWE. I'm not saying that WWE every week is better than AEW. I think each show, since AEW has been on, each show has had weeks where one was better than the other. And AEW goes up against NXT. It doesn't go up against Raw. It doesn't go up against SmackDown.
And it still can't break a million viewers. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. Yeah. And NXT, in my opinion, has been the better brand for WWE for a while. And now with NXT moving, there are those who are saying, oh, it's because of AEW kicking its ass. And I'm like, nah, probably not. Yeah, it definitely just seems like let's just hate on WWE for really whatever reason. I don't even know if they understand, those who hate it so much, if they really understand why. Because the only thing that they would tell you is that, oh, it's whack. It's like, all right, well
why is it
know,
whack?
Yeah, why do you really think that? You know, is it because they're not doing the 6-star matches that you watch Kenny Omega do in New Japan? It's like, and when I listen, and I know I've talked about Bruce Pritchard a bunch of times, and I'm sure I will a bunch more, but when I listen to his podcast, he says that you have to tell a story. The match on Raw between Bobby Lashley and Miz told a story.
Throughout the whole show.
Right, throughout the whole show. And here's the thing. I know that there are a lot of Miz fans out there. I know that they feel that he deserves a run with the title. So if the Miz was worthy of having a long title run, a meaningful title run, a believable title run, he would have one. That's just how I look at it. I think he was strictly transitional to, like I said last week, one, cash in Money in the Bank, finally, and two, transition to Bobby Lashley to make Lashley look strong without making Drew McIntyre look weak. And that was the story that they told. They didn't need to have a 30-minute long match between the two because, to be honest, 30 minutes between them probably would not have been that good.
They would have been shitting all over that even more. You gave that match 30 minutes. You should have made it shorter and had Lashley go over strong, but because he did, it's a problem.
Right.
That's where the hypocrisy is what gets me, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, hypocrisy with every fact of the world, every fact of life is annoying, but yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, there's no changing it. That people are going to believe what they want to believe and support what they want to support. And the only thing I can say is if you really don't like what took place on Raw, don't watch next week. Don't watch the week after.
But they still will because it's something to complain about. I'll end with this because, again, I don't want to waste too much time. There have been, and I've seen is continuous reports of how people should all love a Bad Bunny being on WWE television, even though he's getting them ratings, he's selling a tele-merchandise. Listen, I don't expect him to be in a five-star match at WrestleMania, but it is what it is, right? This past Wednesday on AEW, Shaq had a match, tag match, and all I hear is people singing his praises and how he went through the table. What's the difference?
There is none.
You know what's the difference?
Yeah.
The letters in the company's name. That's really it. Yeah, that's all, and I'll digress on that. Yeah. And that's it. That's all I could say about that. And it's ridiculous. And I think we could enjoy both companies without having to crap on the other one. Anyway, let's move on. Fuck all that. So we had this idea. I've had this in the works for a long time, and I can never put it to paper, which is great. So we're talking to Chris. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, let's do this. Do we do a full 64 match bracket? He's like, fuck it, let's go the whole way. So we're doing it. Greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So we set it up in four brackets. Okay, we have our one bracket is our golden era / new generation bracket. So that's from WrestleMania 1 through 12. Okay, our next bracket is our attitude era bracket, which is from 12 to 18. Bracket after that is our ruthless aggression era / going into modern day. So that's WrestleMania 19 to WrestleMania 25. And then we have our modern day bracket, which is essentially WrestleMania 26 to WrestleMania last year, which is 36, which is 10 WrestleManias. There's a lot to freaking pack in there, okay? So we had a couple of rules. Nothing crazy. One, we didn't have any seating. We kind of just wanted to put the matches where they were. We felt like, okay, what we feel was the best match of that bracket? What was the worst match of that bracket? We wanted to spread it out to have, you know, an even playing field, more or less. So, you know, without one match is dominating one over the other. Two, if it was the main event, it automatically is in the tournament. Every main event from every WrestleMania is in this tournament because it was the last match. However, I know what you're saying. Well, not every main event was great. There was matches that outshined it. Exactly. That's why we threw those fucking things in too. How you doing? So all those matches are in as well. So we do have the matches that were not the main event, but what some would consider some of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. And we'll get to that too. You'll know what we're talking about. But at Wrestling Guys PC, if you listen to this, so we're going to go through all the first round matchups. All right. We're going to choose who we feel is moving on. And again, this is entirely our opinion, hence the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the professional wrestling. All right? It's not some expert opinion we have. I mean, yes, we do have an expert opinion, but doesn't mean that you're going to agree with us. And that's the whole point of this. This is the whole point of a discussion and having a debate, right? He may not agree on a match that I take, and how are we going to settle this? We may just do an old-fashioned coin flip, or I may just go to his house and put him in a headlock till he agrees. Either way, we can't sway each other in this point. We have to go to a tiebreaker, but we go through all first round matches. And then as the weeks progress, we will go through the rest of the tournament. And when we get down to the final four, what we're going to do is we're going to have the final four watch along. So we're going to watch the final four matches in our tournament. And based on those watches, some of them we haven't watched in a few years, depends on who makes it. We will decide who goes to those finals, and then we will pick the winner of the greatest WrestleMania match. Hopefully, the intent is to try to finish this before WrestleMania airs. But maybe we will, maybe we won't. Don't give a damn. We're still having fun. We're having a good time. I hope you got a drink poured. You tweet us at WrestlingGuysPC if you agree, you disagree, you're in the middle, or, you know, you just don't give a damn. You'd be like, damn, that's great. We want to hear everything. As usual, you can get all this podcast where you get all your podcasts. So hopefully you're downloading, you're subscribing, you're saying hello. Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready, and I just want to point out that this was actually... Anytime you try to do something like this, you have no choice but to leave certain things out. So this was – it was hard to do, and there are some great matches that we had just had to leave out. You know, and if you can think of one, please throw it in the comments and let us know which ones those are. But unfortunately, some got left out, but they're not forgotten.
We had to make executive decisions. Things had to be cut, all right? We had to do it. Directors have to do it all the time. You got to leave stuff on the cutting room floor. Maybe we'll do a tournament that we'll call Best of the Rest, and we'll just throw those in there too. Whatever, man. But unfortunately, we only had 64 spots. We had to go, again, main events took precedence, and whatever matches we felt were worthy of being included, we chose ourselves. And again, this is entirely what we felt should be included. If you have other matches that you should be included, like you said, drop it in the comments. Drop it to us at Wrestling Guys PC or FPP show, whatever, however you want to do this. So let's go. Let's go to our very first matchup. We're going to start in the golden era / new generation WrestleManias 1 through 12. In our first matchup, we have the WrestleMania 1 main event, Hulk Hogan, Mr. T against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff, the tag match from WrestleMania 1 against Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow from WrestleMania 11. That's the two main events. Now, LT, New York Giants, Bam Bam Bigelow, one of the best big man workers in history, against the very, very first main event. LT, surprisingly, was decent in that match.
It's not a bad match at all. LT and Bam Bam Bigelow is one of like the kind of unsung legends of wrestling. One of the best big men ever. It doesn't get enough credit, I think, among the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a better than expected match. Yeah. And then, of course, the first WrestleMania is the first WrestleMania. And again, you have a celebrity in that match, too, a Mr. T.
Yes.
Up with Hogan. So two celebrity guest matches to start off the bracket here.
Yes. So for me personally, nostalgia factor, I'm going WrestleMania 1 here. The tag match, I mean, if this isn't successful, we don't have WrestleManias down the line, right? LT and Bam Bam main evented a very weak WrestleMania 11 card. It wasn't a bad match. In terms of celeb matches at WrestleMania, maybe it's one of the better ones. But then, I don't know. I'm going tag match from WrestleMania 1.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's WrestleMania 1. It's the one that kicked it all off. It was actually a decent match. But it's the beginning of what we have to date. So I think that one.
And you have Muhammad Ali and Pat Patterson. Yeah. Rest in peace to both of them. Liberace coming out and send, you know, got all those people, man. They're all chilling.
Star-studded event. And
Billy Martin as your, what is it, the timekeeper, ring announcer, whatever. Let's move on. We're just moving on. We got to rock and roll here. We got the WrestleMania 2 main event, Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy. And by the way, Hulk Hogan is in the main event of the first 8 WrestleManias, and he's involved in the main event of WrestleMania 9. So the first 9 WrestleManias, he's either involved or in the match. That's incredible. And you'll see later on down the line, we get how Reigns is almost matching his appearances at this point.
Yeah.
You have Hulk Hogan, King Kong Bundy, WrestleMania 2 cage match versus Hulk Hogan and Sid Justice, Sid Vicious, Psycho Sid, from WrestleMania 8, which I would like to dub the pay-per-views. Both main events are just,
The main WrestleMania 8, I think, is a good WrestleMania, except for that match.
It's a terrible main event. It should have been Savage Flair.
That should have been the match, just because that was the title match of that card. But I think also WrestleMania 8, it was originally supposed to be Flair Hogan that they tried to do, and they couldn't do it. But there's also a lot of controversy around that Sid and Hogan match. Apparently, Sid kicked out when he wasn't supposed to, and
because he was on his way out.
Yeah, he was on his way out. Papa Shango interfered. Ultimate Warrior came back at that
point. And Papa Shango missed his cue on top of
that.
Right,
he missed his
cue. That's why they say Sid kicked out of it originally.
Right. And I don't even think there was really a clear-cut winner. Like, Hogan didn't actually win the match. Sid, you know, nobody won the match.
I believe Hogan won by DQ, if you want to get
DQ. Like, he didn't pin him. So I think just based on that, Hogan and Bundy wins for me. I mean, I actually think that match isn't bad. It's a cage match, which we don't typically see a gimmick match close off a WrestleMania. But I think Hogan and Bundy cage WrestleMania 2 wins over WrestleMania 8.
So our second round matchup, first second round matchup is set. Main event of 1 versus the main event of 2.
There you go.
That wasn't set up entirely on purpose. next one, we have the Irresistible Force versus the Immovable Object, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3, against Bret Hart versus Yokozuna, WrestleMania 9.
There's a bit to unpack there, because WrestleMania 3 is the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Hogan and Andre is maybe arguably the biggest main event of all time, biggest attraction match. But if you watch that match,
it's not that good.
It's not really that good. It's very slow. Andre, you know, he was having a lot of physical problems, wasn't able to move very well.
Oh, he had back surgery prior to that.
Yeah, he had back surgery.
So there wasn't a ton of movement. It was very plodding, but at the same time, this was the match that you wanted to pack out the Silver Dome with, right?
Which it did.
Right.
Right.
So at the same time, right, WrestleMania 9, Bret Hart, this young up-and-coming sumo wrestler, Yokozuna,
mm-hmm.
coming on, killing the game, was agile, could move. That was a it's going to be the unpopular opinion here, but I like Bret Hart versus Yoko from WrestleMania 9 over Hogan Andre from 3.
Well, here's the thing. It's the better match, but Hogan and Andre was
the better spectacle.
The better spectacle. So how do you this is a good example of what wins out, right? Is it the match that's better or is it the attraction that's better?
Yeah, right.
I think Hogan Andre wins out on that one.
You know what? That's not going to go to a tiebreaker. That argument did sway me. I'm going to go Hogan Andre from 3 also. I'll change my vote. I do think Hart Yoko is the better match, but when you come to spectacle, yeah, you can't go wrong, right? And all I ever hear is Gorilla Monsoon's voice in my head when I think of Hogan Andre. Right. It was just a force movable object. All right, moving on. Next one. We're going Savage versus Ted DiBiase, the Macho Man Randy Savage, the main event from WrestleMania 4, the end of the world title tournament, the finals, versus Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 6, Toronto Sky Dome. Champion versus champion.
Do you want to go first with this one?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I liked Savage DiBiase match, the tournament. WrestleMania 4 gets kind of, I think, swept under the rug a little bit.
I think it's a good pay-per-view.
It is.
I enjoy it a lot myself.
I enjoy that WrestleMania. But Hogan and Warrior wins that one for me. It was a very good match. You know, Ultimate Warrior, I know he's not accused of being really the best worker ever. But again, spectacle, right? I mean, Warrior was looked at that point as the guy that was going to be the next Hogan. He was on fire. Fans loved him. It was champion versus champion. And it was a really, really good match. You know, a passing of the torch for at least a little while. And, yeah, that's the better match for me.
I'm going to say, too, Warrior could pull out the good match if he had a good dance partner. We'll see WrestleMania 6 and WrestleMania 7. He had two really good WrestleMania matches. As many people accuse him, and I'll say the same thing, he wasn't the greatest worker. He was all character. And it worked because he was super popular. But 6 and WrestleMania 7, which we included in this bracket, did we include this in the bracket? We did not. We took it out. Look at that. Executive decision. Send your death threats to at Wrestling Guys PC. But yes, Hogan Warrior 6, I will agree with you here. Got some good second round matchups starting to shape up here. So moving on, Hogan Savage, WrestleMania 5, the Mega Powers Explode versus USA versus Iraq. Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter, main event of WrestleMania 7 for the title. And Hogan's just everywhere in this bracket.
Yeah, he is. But I think Hogan Savage wins easily.
This is not even out for me. It's not even a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Mega Powers Explode is a match, man. It is such a good match.
And this was an example of what we talked about before. Like WrestleMania 7, I thought, and still think, is a decent WrestleMania. And that included the Savage Warrior match that we had to leave out because Hogan and Slaughter was the title match. It was the main event.
And they take precedence. And then we're looking at other stuff here. So, for instance, the one that we actually did, I think, over Warrior and Savage was, and we're going to go to the next one, Bret Hart versus Yokozuna from WrestleMania 10. That was the rematch a year later. It was also included Lex Luger, you know, coin toss and all that, but that was the final match. But it goes up against Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper, which is the Intercontinental title match from WrestleMania 8. And if you ask me, it's one of the most underrated matches in WrestleMania history, and it's an incredible match.
It is.
I think, honestly, that's the best match of the card that night in WrestleMania 8. And if I'm going here, I know it's the IC versus a world title match. I like Bret versus Piper from 8 over the match from 10.
So do I.
I'm going
easily.
There.
Easily, yeah.
And I think it's incredible. Roddy Piper, when you look at his matches, had some incredible ones. But like when it came to his WWE tenure, nothing really stood out, at least to me. Except for this match.
Yeah.
He did have some good moments. Obviously, the main event from 1 and the boxing match from 2. But this is it, like, wrestling-wise. This was his best work.
And it's his only real title run, that IC title. And that was it.
Okay. And here's another one we did. So we figure, what are some of the best of the rest to help fill out this bracket? What are some of the good ones? So there are certain ones that you just can't leave out. And what I'm talking about here is HBK Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon ladder match from 10. Well, some people say the first ladder match ever, legendary match against. And the reason why we added this one here, because it was a world title match. It wasn't the main event, but it was the world title match of WrestleMania 11, and a very good match. Shawn Michaels versus Diesel the very next year at WrestleMania 11. I could spout all day, and we can go back and forth on this. But to me, it's HBK Razor, right?
It's not even a question. I mean, HBK Razor, Ladder Match WrestleMania 10 is one of my favorite matches of all time, and to me, to this day, is still the best ladder match of all time.
That's a bold statement, but it's a great match. It is a great match for the many great ladder matches that we've seen over the years. Okay, so here's where we're getting a little slippery, right? So what some people will consider for a very long time, and even now, the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. And I'm talking about Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Macho Man Randy Savage from WrestleMania 3 for the Intercontinental title against HBK Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12, 60-minute Iron Man match for the World Wrestling Federation title. Where are we going?
So this one is probably the toughest so far. Both matches are extremely good, legendary classic matches. The Iron Man match, I think, has gotten some criticism because there was no pinfalls during the one-hour time limit, and it went into a sudden death. But I think that was part of the allure of it, right? Like, you have two of the greatest in-ring performers of all time trying to see who the better man is, and it was like for an hour they were tied, which I think is great. Savage Steamboat, I mean, it's tough, but I think HBK Bret wins, not by much, but it does win.
Really? Yeah. Really? So the thing I like about, yes, there was no pinfalls, but I like that there wasn't. Because now you see the criticism now of Iron Man matches. Like, well, how come this move that you would kick out of in a regular title match, now you're getting pinned for?
Now you're getting pinned,
And now, you know, there is the problem there, right? But, dude, you're talking about the Steamboat and Savage. When you want to talk about false finishes and everything, like, they did it right, man. I mean, there's just moment after moment where you're, like, on the edge of your seat. And the way they planned this match out, and then to me, Steamboat Savage set the bar for future WrestleManias, right? There's no Taker Michaels, I don't think, if you have Steamboat Savage, because Steamboat Savage is the benchmark. Everyone wants to get to Steamboat Savage.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. And
I got to go Steamboat Savage here, man. We might have to do our first tiebreaker here.
No, you know what? I'm okay with it moving on. It's a toss-up. Like, I get what you're saying, and I agree. I just think those two matches up together are extremely hard to call. But yeah, Steamboat Savage, moving on, I'm okay with that.
I'll let you know, though, and we didn't plan this out. We were filling in the bracket as we went, but our second round matchup for next week will be HBK Razor from 10 against Steamboat Savage from WrestleMania.
Oh, man, that's going to be
hard. That's going to be tough. that is going to be tough. All right, that does it for the Golden Era New Generation bracket. We have our... These are not quarterfinals. This is our next round. You know, I don't even know. I don't watch March Madness enough to actually know. I know quarterfinals, semis, and finals. We had our opening round. Our opening round is over in this bracket. Our next opening round set of matchups, we're moving on to the much-beloved, and maybe too much-beloved, Attitude Era. Because when you look at it, right, Attitude Era was essentially 5 to 6 years.
Very short.
So we have WrestleMania's 12. I'm sorry, WrestleMania's 13. To WrestleMania 18. So starting it off, since WrestleMania 13 was the first in the list, we went the main event from WrestleMania 13, Undertaker, the world champion, versus Sid again, Psycho Sid this time, from WrestleMania 13, against Triple H, Chris Jericho, for the world title, or the undisputed title at the time, from WrestleMania 18. Where do you lie here?
Well, first I want to say that I do happen to be a big Psycho Sid fan. But
you may be alone in that sentiment. I'm just
the two times that he appears in this bracket, both matches are just really not the best. WrestleMania 13 is kind of a lackluster card except for one match. This match in particular, Undertaker Sid, not really that memorable. So Triple H Jericho, Triple H's big return in 2002 from his quad injury. Wins the Rumble that year, goes on and faces Jericho in the main event. It was a pretty good match.
So that
one wins out for me. Yeah, overshadowed, and we'll get to that. But
and rightfully so.
Yeah, rightfully so. But that, as far as those two, Triple H Jericho is a better match.
You know, it's funny how people, you know, seem to crap on Psycho Sid a lot, and he made events at WrestleMania twice.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I'm a fan of his work. I think it just depends on who, again, who the dance partner is. He was always better with a guy who was smaller that could bump around and make him look good, like a Shawn Michaels, you know. Anyway, but yes, I'm in agreement here. I'm just going to go Triple H Jericho from 18. Bear with me, people. Filling out this bracket, y'all. From 18. Next one. The Austin era begins. Triple H. HBK versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. World title match from WrestleMania 14 versus what some people may see as a wild card here, which I do because some people don't like it. Some people do. But we're going to go Scott Hall versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 18. And why is the reason we added this? Because it did have a lot of hype behind it. It wasn't the match maybe that people wanted to see when it lived up to, but you had the NWO coming in and Stone Cold and The Rock in separate matches against NWO members. So screw it. We threw it in.
Yeah, and it was a match that I was looking forward to. I think WrestleMania 18, for the record, is one of the best ever. That match, though, Hall and Austin, it was exciting to look forward to, but the match really felt short of what it could have been. And both of those guys even admitted as much. But then when you look at Austin HBK from 14, that was another match that didn't live up to what it could have been because HBK was fighting his back injury during that whole match.
So it wasn't the greatest that we've
seen. You know, with that said, I think I'll have to go HBK Austin, the better match. It is the title match. It's the start of the Austin era. So I'm going that.
Yeah, I'm going with you here. This is, for me, not really much up for debate. You know, you have the start of one of the biggest, or some say the biggest superstar in WWE history. And you can't go wrong. But yes, both, not two of the matches that kind of fell short of expectations, but they're there nonetheless. Moving on, we have our Fatal 4-Way from WrestleMania 2000. Mick Foley, Big Show, Rock, Triple H for the WWE title. Up against Shane McMahon versus Vince McMahon in the street fight from WrestleMania 17. Underrated match. I think it's actually a good match. I like that match.
It is a good match. It's a hardcore match. And this was right after the purchase of WCW, and Shane kind of did the swerve and said, you know, I'm the one who actually owns it, not you. This was a really good match, and I think it wins against that Fatal 4-Way. I think it's a better match.
I'm going to pull that out, too. I'm going to go with the upset because just for the fact that this WrestleMania 2000 pay-per-view is not a great WrestleMania. There is not one singles match in the entire pay-per-view. We were just talking about this before we started recording, and you were like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, if you think about it, there's tag matches, Fatal 4-Ways, Hardcore Invitational, something in Triple Threat. And the Fatal 4-Way itself just wasn't great. I remember watching it, and everyone assumed that The Rock was going to win that year because he had won the Royal Rumble. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And Triple H was on fire, but still, you know what? Yeah, some people may not like this, but Shane Vince from 17 is moving on. In the upset. Every bracket has a Cinderella story. What do you want me to say, right? Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty here. People may say, why did you have these two matches together in the first round? Should have spread them out so they can beat each other later on. But you know what? Screw it. Sometimes this happens. Rock Austin WrestleMania 15 versus Rock Austin WrestleMania 17. Boom, dropping the bomb on everybody here. That's right. We're going matches. We're going one of the most famous feuds of all time. Two of the famous, most famous WrestleMania main events of all time in the first round. Hate us for it at Wrestling Guys PC.
So, yeah, the Rock Austin, two of the three in the WrestleMania trilogy. 17 is the better match, though.
17 to me. 15 was great, and I liked that match a lot. But 17, it had such a better story. It had a better just love the ending.
I love the build up
with Limp Bizkit's My Way, and the video. The only drawback was the Austin turning heel at the time. But you know what? At the time when he did it, you didn't know what to expect, and
it was a holy shit moment.
Wasn't gonna play on. Yeah, and. You know, teaming up with McMahon and having the beer with him at the end. Rock Austin 17. We're moving on. So we have two WrestleMania 17 matchups here going against each other in the second round. All right, next one. We have the Triangle Ladder match from WrestleMania 2000. great, great match. Dudley's, Hardy's, Edge and Christian against, and this is another match from WrestleMania 17, Undertaker versus Triple H. This is at the onset of when Taker started having his great WrestleMania matches, right? So, yeah, where are we going?
So, again, another famous trilogy of WrestleMania matches, Undertaker, Triple H. But this one slips under the radar. It is a very good match, but I think I'm going the Triangle Ladder match because that was the precursor to what would become TLC. It was billed as a ladder match, and then tables and chairs got involved. And then from there, we saw TLC at SummerSlam, then TLC 2 the next year at WrestleMania, and now we have TLC pay-per-views. And it was a great match with three of the greatest tag teams of all time, so I'm giving that one the nod.
Yes, I'm with you on that one. The Triangle Ladder match for me in a pay-per-view that was heavy, like we said, with the multi-man matches, multi-team matches, this one pulled all the stops. And I remember watching this at home and just being like, damn, this match is awesome. Triple H Taker from 17, very, very good match. But when it comes to, and this is where it comes to, really good match, but also setting the bar and being up there, like, there's no TLC pay-per-view without this match to start off everything else. So, Triangle Ladder match from 2000. Moving on, Rock, Hogan, Icon versus Icon, WrestleMania 18, not the main event, but should have been the main event. Probably was the main event in everybody else's eyes, even Jericho, who didn't want to go on last, against what I feel is an underrated match in WrestleMania history. Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. It's not popular, obviously, but from WrestleMania 17. So 17, why'd we choose so many 17 matches? 17, to me, is one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. There's a lot of good matches on there, but there's also good matches that flew under the radar. There's also a match between Jericho and Regal on that match that opened up the show. Didn't have the most time, but they had a little bit of time, but it was a good damn match, man. Unfortunately for Angle and Benoit here, Rock and Hogan, and this is another one. I tell some people sometimes, if you want to see how much the crowd played a role in that match, try to watch Rock and Hogan with the sound off.
Yeah.
The match is good, but the crowd makes it great.
And I remember watching that match in that WrestleMania, and I was in my room, and my dad came upstairs, came in for that match, and sat down and watched with me. And when it was over, my dad's not really the biggest wrestling fan, but he knew who they were, and he had watched it on and off. But when it was over, he was like, I'm glad I watched that match, because it was just so good. And the fact that the fans turned on The Rock to cheer Hogan, who was the heel, coming in with the NWO, it was really mind-blowing. And it is such an iconic match. And I think, Angle Benoit stuff aside, they had good matches together, but that match does not compare to Rock Hogan at 18.
Yeah, I mean, it is incredible. Rock Hogan is just, they're in the Sky Dome again, right? Or they're in Toronto again, they're in Canada. Yep. And it's just like, he was there in WrestleMania 6 with Warrior, and it didn't matter what colors he came in with, black and white, the NWO, red and yellow, it was a Hogan. It was Hogan crowd. Didn't matter what The Rock did, it was over. It was a good match. And it is an underrated match in terms of Hogan's career. I think it's one of his better matches, honestly. All right, moving on. And again, another match from WrestleMania 17. But if you got a problem with this one, F off. TLC 2. TLC 1 took place in SummerSlam. The previous year. They came in with TLC 2. And this match, I mean, this match is this match. This is TLC 2. This is an incredible match here. Again, Dudley's, Hardy's, Edge and Christian against what some say an underrated match, Undertaker versus Kane from 14, which is the blow off to the original Undertaker versus Kane feud.
Yeah, TLC 2 wins. Undertaker Kane was okay from WrestleMania 14, but TLC 2, I think, easily wins that.
Yeah, and that for me, it's a no-brainer. And then we have an Undertaker versus Ric Flair from WrestleMania 18. Which is
a good match.
It's a good match. You know what does it for me, though?
The Anderson Spinebuster.
When I was like, oh, he's going to beat Undertaker. I thought it could have happened. But anyway, against, which is probably one of mine, if not the favorite WrestleMania match of all time, submission match, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bret Hart from WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, so, I mean, Undertaker Ric Flair was good. I loved the Arn Anderson spot, but It's Austin Brett. I mean, that match is iconic for a lot of reasons. The famous double switch, the double turn, that famous picture of Austin bleeding, passing out. That night, Austin was really, really made.
Yeah.
So that one wins.
Absolutely. It's just that iconic moment, right? Austin puts his head up, bleeding from the head. He falls. You do the double switch. Ken Shamrock's involved, in which people, you totally forget that Ken Shamrock's the special guest referee. Like I said, if not my favorite WrestleMania match, it's definitely in the top three. That's a no-brainer here for me, but I think that's an incredible match. Okay, there we go. We have our Attitude Era bracket filled. Our second round matchups are set. Man, Shane and Vince with the upset. I can't believe it. Why do we have a lot of WrestleMania 17 matches on there? Go watch WrestleMania 17 and you'll find out. Next, moving on. Ruthless Aggression going into our modern era pay-per-views. WrestleMania 19 through to WrestleMania 25. Getting on, moving on to WrestleMania 19, starting it off. On this bracket, we have the main event of 19, Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar for the Undisputed Championship. And then against another Kurt Angle match, not the main event though, Kurt Angle versus HBK Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 21. Where are you going on this one?
So two really good matches. One's a title match, one's not. One's the main event, one's not. However, I'm going Angle HBK. I think they had the better match. Angle and Brock was good, you know, but I think that match is more remembered for Brock almost killing himself doing the shooting star press.
Yes.
The match was good, but that's what it gets remembered for. I'm going Angle HBK, though. They had an amazing match.
You're telling me Angle HBK is, that's a five-star match, in my opinion. That's an incredible match. And they pulled out all the stops and they killed it. It was actually the longest match of the night, 27 minutes, compared to even the main event that night. Angle and Brock is also a very good match. Angle, again, a broken freaking neck in that match. But yes, like you said, it's more remembered for the fact that Brock Lesnar almost killed himself trying a shooting star press. Don't know why he would have did it. Whoever talked him into it should have been fired. And getting up and somehow still finishing the match. So yeah, Angle HBK, I don't even think that's an upset. I think that's a foregone conclusion here. Moving on, though. This is interesting, this next match. Neither of them are the main event, but two very, very good, memorable matches. Edge versus Mick Foley, hardcore match from WrestleMania 22. Mick Foley never had his WrestleMania moment, wanted it against Edge. Against, I'm sorry, I love you, HBK versus Ric Flair, retirement match from WrestleMania 24.
Man, this is tough. This is a tough matchup because Edge and Mick Foley was great. That hardcore match. Edge spearing Mick Foley through the table and it was on fire is just a memorable moment. But it's hard to go against HBK and Ric Flair because it was Flair's, not really his last match because he would go to TNA, have a couple matches, but it's his last WWE match. And the whole, you know, I'm sorry, I love you part and man, it's tough, but I gotta be honest that part of me really wants to go Edge McFoley.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. So I love the build up to HBK Flair in 24. I love what they did with it. I love that he had to win matches or he was gonna lose his career. Yeah, and right. He picked HBK for that match. Dude, the crying when he gets up for the kick and the emotion of the I'm sorry, I love you is incredible. However, Edge and Mick Foley pulled out all the stops, and Foley felt he never had his WrestleMania moment. They set the table on fire. He spears him through the ring onto the table. Dude, you know, man, Edge and Foley for the upset here in this round.
And that's another pick 'em, but I'm leaning.
You could have went either way. I love there's the fact is too that there are several HBK matches here that I think outshine HBK Flair. You're not going to get more emotion than HBK Flair, but it's heavy on emotion.
Yeah.
Whereas Edge and Foley were heavy on the spots, but they were great. Okay. Next matchup. I'm going to call it the Battle of the Batista matches because it is. World Heavyweight Title, Batista versus Triple H, WrestleMania 21 main event. Against, now this is not the main event, but it was the second title match early on in the night, but it was a very, very good match. Batista versus Undertaker for WrestleMania 23, also for the World Heavyweight Championship, also, but Batista is the champion in this case. Okay, I'm a Triple H guy through and through. I thought him versus Batista was a very, very good match. However, Batista-Taker for me is the better match, and I thought it was one of the better matches that night. I thought Taker brought a lot out of Batista, and I remember not being the biggest Batista fan at the time, and I was like, I really hope he's not the guy that breaks Taker's streak, and it made it believable for a while in that match that Batista could have pulled it off. And I thought it was incredible. I'm going Batista-Taker here. I thought it was great.
So am I. Yeah, I think it's definitely – it's the better match out of the two. And I've softened on Batista over the years. And when I look back, go back to watch not all of his matches, but some of them, and I'm like, you know, he really did put on some good matches, and this is one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Triple H, too, dominating this bracket in terms of main events. Cena, the world heavyweight champion, against Triple H in the main event of WrestleMania 22 against the first ever Money in the Bank ladder match from WrestleMania 21. So, again, not the main event, but a memorable match, a historic match. And it was a good match as well. So, where do you lie here?
I'm going Money in the Bank. It's the same reasons for TLC. It's the first time that we see this match, and it's led to, I mean, what it is, got to be over 20 of them now at this point, and now it has its own pay-per-view.
Right.
Cena Triple H is a good match. It's a good main event, but I gotta be honest, I don't remember much of it except the entrances and the finish.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, Money in the Bank wins this.
It was heavy on the Conan the Barbarian. He came out as like a gangster. And then, the finish when Triple H tapped out and everyone's like, what the hell? Because everybody swore that Triple H was going to win that night. But yeah, you're right. In terms of memorability, I don't say memorability, but memory or memorable. Money in the Bank is, I think, takes the cake. Okay, moving on. Triple H yet again. This time, he is the champion against HBK and Chris Benoit, WrestleMania 20. And we're going to go from WrestleMania 24 main event, which is Undertaker versus Edge. Edge being the world champion here, Taker, the challenger. Wow. So we were there, WrestleMania 20.
We were there, yeah.
And, you know, Triple H, HBK, Chris Benoit. Dude, it was an incredible match to see face-to-face. Face-to-face. in front of us, right? Like, we were there at the Garden watching that match. The crowd was red hot. Everybody wanted Benoit to win. And this is, you know, guys, again, prior to whatever happened, but it was an incredible match. It was great. Taker, Edge, which I never thought Edge would main event at WrestleMania, which probably is now again, but is a very, very good match, but it pales in comparison to the WrestleMania 20 main event. I'm going the triple threat here.
Yeah. I think I would too. But I do have to say, and some people may roll their eyes at this, but I really don't care if they do. It's hard for me to really show any type of praise to Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit, before what took place with him, he was one of my favorite wrestlers ever. You know, and we, like you said, we were there. It was great to see him get his moment. But man, his life and his career is so tainted to me. And it's just hard to go get to support anything that he did now. But the match did involve two other guys, and it was the better match.
Yeah, it is difficult. It's difficult to watch his stuff now prior to what happened and being like, damn, man, I remember being there. It was exciting. It was great. The crowd was hot. But now when you go back and watch these things and then you realize what's going to happen a few years later, you're like, damn. It's hard to watch knowing what this guy would end up doing a few years later. It is incredibly difficult. It's hard for me to watch that WrestleMania 20 main event. I haven't watched it in a very, very long time. I think the last time I watched it was the night that they did the Benoit tribute when they thought he just had passed away. And they played and they played it again on Raw. I haven't seen it since. And that's pretty much the particular reason I don't want to see him. Okay, moving on. Main event, WrestleMania 23. Cena and Shawn Michaels. Cena being the champion against Michaels. You notice he goes against Triple H and then HBK and back-to-back Manias. Yes. And DX, the DX. Against, and I mean, do we really have to talk about this anymore? you're talking what some people consider the greatest WrestleMania match of all time, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 25. I mean, do we need to discuss this, or do we just need to move on here?
No, we can move on. I mean, Undertaker, Shawn wins. But Cena, Shawn was also very good.
No, very good match. Not taking anything away from it. It ain't Taker. It ain't Taker Michaels from 25. You know, it's... I remember watching that match at your house.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched wrestling regularly in about a year. And I would pop in off and on, and I'd catch Raw. I would keep up to date, you know, read the news reports, see what's going on with everybody. And I remember we were watching that match, and I was like, holy shit, this match is awesome. And he was like, if I got to get back into wrestling for this, I'm all in, right? This is incredible. It's a great match. WrestleMania 20, World Heavyweight or Undisputed title match. Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero. And another non-main event match from WrestleMania 19, HBK versus Chris Jericho. Both very good matches.
Yeah, both very good. Eddie Guerrero, I mean, he's the complete opposite of Benoit, right? I mean, he would pass away a couple of years after that, but you look back and you cherish the moments that Eddie Guerrero had, winning the title from Brock, this match against WrestleMania where I think most of us thought he might lose, and he wound up keeping the title, which was great.
Yeah. Taking his boot off when he goes to the angle, he slips off, and then he gives him the inside cradle. And to me, that was, if not the second, that was the second best match of the night. It was a two-match card during WrestleMania 20. This one was great, and then the world title match later on would also be fantastic. To me, I think this is the clear-cut winner. Not taking anything away from Jericho and HBK, because that is a very, very good match. It'd be a precursor to what they, you know, their feuds the years down the line. And that was HBK still coming out of his, you know, still in the midst of his like return from the back injury, and the story of Jericho always being, you know, HBK was his favorite wrestler growing up and wanting to go against him. I thought it was great. But man, Angle Eddie for me is the winner here.
Man, I was going to go the other way.
Really?
Yeah.
You going HBK Jericho?
I was
going
to go HBK Jericho, not by much, but I was going to lean towards it. This is another pick 'em. Like, I don't think there's a wrong answer.
There's a toss-up. It's a toss-up.
So I'm okay with Eddie and Kurt Angle going, but I was going to lean slightly towards HBK and Jericho here.
Really? See, I liked HBK and Jericho, but I just feel like, for me, Angle and Eddie had more, and it was a lot more emotion that night, right?
There was.
They had the Angle and Benoit promo right before, and I don't know, man. That was for me. And the fact, I mean, we were there, and we saw it, and I love that match, man. It's great. If you're gonna watch one match from WrestleMania 20, watch that one instead of
watch that one.
All right, let's move on. Austin Rock from WrestleMania 19, not the main event, but what some people feel is the main event.
Yeah, Austin's last
should have went last. Austin's very last match, their last match together, against the main event of WrestleMania 25. Unfortunately, had to follow Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, but Triple H and Randy Orton. I don't know how you feel, Chris, but to me, this is not, for me, it's not a debate. I think Austin Rock clearly take the cake. Triple H Orton, aside from having to follow Taker and HBK, it wasn't a great match because they kind of tied their hands a little bit. They had built this feud up for months where Triple H and Orton were getting very, very personal with each other, right? Yeah. And then instead of doing like a no DQ match, it was like, if you get disqualified, you lose the title. And it was just very like, what? Like, they should be beating the shit out of each other in this match. You know, he Triple H invaded his home. Randy Orton gave an RKO to Stephanie and then kissed her while she was down. You know what I mean? Like, that was something where they need to be like, no, the gloves are off. Do what you need to do for 20 minutes or something. And it was like, no, but if Triple H gets disqualified, he loses the title. And I just felt like it really tied their hands in terms of what they could do. And the match didn't deliver. And it could have been a lot better than what it was.
No, here, I mean, Rock Austin wins easily, I think, here.
Yeah, we're going to go Rock Austin from WrestleMania 19. We got some good matchups in this Ruthless Aggression bracket. Let me tell you right now, we got two Taker matches. We got an Angle. We got two Angle matches. We got some HBK matches in here. I mean, oof, this is going to be tough. And to be honest with you, I feel like most people would say Taker HBK is probably just going to go right through. I don't know. There's some fight. There's some fight in some of these matches that are left. Okay. Let's go modern day. Modern day, which is WrestleMania 26 to last year's WrestleMania 36.
36.
I know. Well, listen, we got time. We got all the time in the world here. Starting it off, the main event of WrestleMania 26 was the rematch between Undertaker and HBK. streak versus career, which was a great storyline going in, versus what some may argue is one of the worst. We did this on purpose because it's one of the worst. Miz versus John Cena, WrestleMania 27 is the main event. I'm going to ask you your pick, but is it Miz versus Cena? Is that where we're going?
Yeah. How'd you guess?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Taker HBK is another one where pulled out all the stops. Very, very good match. A great follow-up. A great story against streak versus career. Whereas Miz and Cena, no. And this is why some people, I guess, call Miz one of the worst of all time. But this match was just no good. It was all, and the problem with that is too, is that it was all a build up to Rock Cena.
Yeah.
And it just didn't, the match itself didn't deliver. And the fact that, that's it. I digress. I don't want to say it anymore. Next, we are going triple threat main event, WrestleMania 30. Miracle on Bourbon Street, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship, which is the combined gold belt, WWE World title, versus the main event of WrestleMania 33, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns handing Taker his second ever loss in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, and this was, you know, I think Undertaker admitted that this was not one of his best performances. He wasn't thrilled about the match, which is why he wanted to come back again.
Yeah, if you watch that Last Ride documentary, which is incredible, him being upset with this match and watching it a few months later is pretty telling.
Yeah, I the triple threat match wins.
Yeah, I think so as well. Just Taker wasn't there. Physically, he wasn't there. It's just
But plus that triple threat match, you had the whole Yes movement, and
it was an organic movement, which is great.
It was organic, yeah. It was originally supposed to be just Batista and Orton, but the fans were not having it. And pretty much the will of the fans got Daniel Bryan in that match. So
right, absolutely. We have a non-main event match from WrestleMania 29, but an incredible match. Undertaker versus CM Punk. Great story. Paul Bearer passing right before CM Punk being with Heyman, stealing the urn from the Undertaker. A legitimate time where I actually thought Undertaker might lose also before the streak was broken. I happened to be there for that match as well. Versus last year's super, really, really good Boneyard match, AJ Styles, Undertaker from WrestleMania 36. When they went cinematic, I was like, oh no, but what a cinematic match it was. Honestly, it was very, very good. Both matches are incredible. Where I'm at a loss here. I don't know.
Yeah, the Boneyard match, I remember going into it like, what is this? But then being very just entertained by it. And for that to be the last match for the Undertaker, I was okay with it, you know, because it worked very well.
I thought it was great.
So, yeah, I'm going that way. I'm going Boneyard match.
I like the Boneyard match. I like the Boneyard match. I like what it did. I love that it was Taker's match. He had a great dance partner in AJ Styles. Taker Punk was really, really good, though, in New York.
It was good.
Oof, man, it was just so good. It was a lot of these near, like, he picks him up for the last ride. He hits him with the urn on the head. And there were a few times when I was there watching it that I was like, damn, Punk is going to pull this out. And they're going to give it to him instead. And then Taker ends up pulling it out. But, you know, given pandemic times and no fans in the stands and the fact that they were able to pull this off how they did, I'll agree with you here. I'm going to go the Boneyard match from 36. Undertaker just really dominating these last few brackets here. Okay, moving on here. We have the end of an era Hell in a Cell match. Another Undertaker match. Undertaker versus Triple H.
Another Triple H match, yeah.
WrestleMania 28. I mean, listen, man, you want good matches. These people are giving it to you. Maybe some people may disagree, but if you do, go back and watch these matches and tell me we're not wrong for picking these matches. Against the women's triple threat match, WrestleMania 32, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair. The winner would be the inaugural Raw Women's Champion.
A great moment for the women's division. A great moment to get rid of that ridiculous Divas title. Stop calling them Divas. Call them women. Call them superstars. Give them an actual belt that we would care about. However, I do have to go the Hell in a Cell here. Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, guest referee. I mean, you talk about moments where you thought the streak would end. This is another time where, and again, you know, from here on out, they would play with us and be like, is this the moment? Is this the moment? Like, every WrestleMania would be a theme. Is this the time that Undertaker loses and then he pulls it out? But this was essentially a two-on-one match, because I remember Shawn Michaels super kicking Undertaker into the pedigree, and then Shawn Michaels trying to count to three so Triple H would win, and Undertaker kicked out, and it was just was a lot of fun. That match was a lot of fun.
It was a very good match. I do love the women's triple threat match, but in terms of drama, Taker and Triple H, end of an era. And there were a few times where it was like, oh, this is over. Triple H is going to get it. And it was just like, holy crap. And he would, you know, the streak went in until 2 years later. Okay. The Battle of the Brock matches. We're going last year's Brock match versus Drew McIntyre from 36 against Brock Lesnar that ends the streak against The Undertaker, WrestleMania 30.
I mean, there's no argument here.
This is one of the most shocking things in my lifetime being a wrestling fan I've ever seen. With Taker losing the streak. I mean, if it had to be somebody, it was going to be Brock Lesnar, right? If it wasn't Shawn Michaels or Triple H or somebody like that. The Drew Brock match I thoroughly enjoyed, but it's become the norm with the Brock matches. The F5, F5, kick out, hit my finish, kick out, hit my finish again, 1, 2, 3. And not that I hated it. I love Drew McIntyre, and I love that he won, but it pales in comparison to WrestleMania 30. All right, this one's a toss-up for me. When I was writing this down. And, okay, you have the first ever women's main event, WrestleMania 35. Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch for both the SmackDown and Raw Women's Championships. And then you have what ended up being a triple threat, but it was initially Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, the main event of WrestleMania 31. Seth Rollins becomes the first person to cash in Money in the Bank in the middle of a match during the WrestleMania main event, makes the triple threat match, and goes on to win the title. I remember me and Drew the Juice Man watching it at my house. And when he cashed in Money in the Bank, we all flipped out. Like, holy shit, he's cashing it in the middle of a match. And then it was like, this is now a triple threat match. And then when he won, it was like, that's the best cash in of all time. It was incredible. The match between him and Roman was good because this is where you first get Suplex City, bitch. Mm-hmm. And he was beating Roman's ass because that prior SummerSlam he beat Brock's he beat Cena's ass, and Roman was just taking it and smiling the whole time until he found that opening, and then as soon as he found that opening, so did Seth, and he came out and cashed in, which I thought was great. But you have history, first ever women's main event, and it was, listen, I was there, it was at the end of a very, very long event, but it's still a good match. Is it the greatest women's match ever? No, but it was a good match.
I think it's an okay match. I think the match itself, I know it was a long event. It was in our, you know, close to our hometown. I did not attend this, but I remember watching the whole thing on TV. It was very long, and I know everybody was tired, but I don't think the match delivered. It didn't deliver what it could have. It's history. It's an important and a great moment for women's wrestling. To be the first time that it main evented WrestleMania. But I think as far as quality, when you compare the two, I think Brock and Roman against Seth cashing in, that wins it for me.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go that way too. I hate that the women have to be eliminated in the first round. For me, yes, we were all dead tired at the end, and it was a very long event. But I remember when Becky ends up scoring the final pinfall on Ronda, everybody was like, oh shit, it's over?
Yeah, like, that's how I felt too.
You know, and that was the problem with the match. Like, there was no real buildup to that end segment. And it was like when she pinned her, I remember looking over to my right, and I was there with two of my friends, and I was just like, they're like, it's over. I'm like, yo, she just pinned her. It was very anticlimactic, unfortunately.
I was gonna say too, with the that match, that moment has led to some debate about whether or not that happened by accident.
Well, it also, her shoulders are not down on the mat. The ref didn't stop they normally would. And then it's like, okay, what's going to happen? So it isn't like, I don't know. It's significant in history, but the match itself.
The match itself, And Ronda hasn't been back since, and good riddance as far as I'm concerned.
And here's where we're talking about Brock and Roman Reigns taking a... Wow, man, you really not a fan of Ronda Rousey, huh?
Nope.
Wow. That really just... That almost escaped me. I almost going to keep going. And you said good riddance. I was like, wow, man. All right. Well, that's something we're going to have to tackle in another episode. Let me tell you. Roman Reigns, Triple H. That was the main event of WrestleMania 32 in Dallas. And then you have Brock versus Roman Reigns, which was the main event of WrestleMania 34 when they returned to New Orleans. It was another Brock Reigns main event. And I gotta be honest here. These two matches, both, in my opinion, underperformed. Reigns and Triple H was a slower paced match where I felt like it should have been more action-packed, high intensity, started off just really right off the bat, and they kind of did this whole like slow down, breaking Roman down. And you know, I enjoyed the ending segment, but not very, in terms of memorable main events, not up there. The Brock Reigns match, memorable for me because Reigns being busted open. I could have swore that Reigns was going to beat Brock in this match and take home the belt, and he ended up losing. And it's also famous for Brock at the end of the event, walking to the back and throwing the Universal title at Vince, and Vince calling him an asshole. And it's on the documentary, which is actually what they left it in, which is pretty incredible.
I think this was also the night that Roman's family kind of protested on his behalf, the fact that he lost, right?
I think it was actually the 31 triple threat.
Oh,
I think
31.
They were upset that he lost. They didn't realize that Rollins was going to cash in. For this one, I think the anger was, you know, Reigns losing when they thought he was going to win, Brock winning again. And the match was okay. It was good, but like the lowest level of good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't something around. Like, dude, this was hard. It was hard hitting and stuff, but I remember just being like, how many times is, I remember being so fed up with how many times Brock is going to suplex Roman. And then I was like, so is Roman just going to hit the spear and it's over? And then he hit a spear, didn't. And then he goes to hit a spear again. He hits with an F5 and he pins him. It's like, holy shit. I was like, really? I was like, okay, thank God it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To be fair, you know, we didn't really watch these matches while we were doing this. But as far as memory goes, Brock and Roman, to me, was more memorable than Roman Triple H. And it was because of the fact that Roman lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was going to win. And I was just like, wow, like Brock just won again. So for me, that Brock and Roman gets it over Roman Triple H.
For the record, my memory is the dopest memory in history. I'm going to put that out there. It's the fact that I will agree that the fact that Roman lost where everyone expected him to win is a heavy blow. Whereas we knew Reigns was going to win.
We knew he was going to win.
But it was how he won. It was the buildup. It just wasn't great, right?
Yeah.
The entrances for 32 are more memorable than the match from 32. Last match of the night. I feel like we breezed through these opening rounds, man. We really did some work. We put in some work here. We did some damage.
Yeah. A lot of matches, but we got through the first round.
The Battle of Rock and Cena, or the Ballad of Rock and Cena, let's say. WrestleMania 28 main event, a year in the making, Rock versus Cena in Miami. Following year, Rock versus Cena in New York, MetLife Stadium. Only this time, it's for the championship. Tough. WrestleMania 29. I couldn't believe that they did a whole year buildup. They announced the WrestleMania main event a year in advance.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. They pulled it off. I thought it worked. You know, it's very hard because anything could happen from now until then. Rock could have got hurt. Cena could have got hurt. And you announced it a year ahead of time, which is incredible. And they haven't done it since. But then the following year, now Rock is the champion, having stopped CM Punk's historic reign. Cena wins the Royal Rumble that year. Now they're just destined for a collision course for a second one. And to me, and again, I was there for this one, Rock Cena from 29 is a lot better match than Rock Cena from 28. I really liked. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Rock Cena from 28. But for me, Rock and Cena from 29 had a lot more. And I think it's the fact that the title maybe was involved as well. It was just a better. I like the build a little more. I like the story a little more. I do like, and I like the match a little more than 28.
I think both matches had great buildup, but you know, I think the first one from 28, the only disappointing thing about that buildup was the fact that we had to wait a year, right, for 28. But when it came around, it was like, finally we get to see this match, because this was a match that was in the making for a long time. You know, Cena kept calling out Rock, saying that, you know, he left the WWE to go to Hollywood, and you know, they had great promos back and forth, and it got a little personal, I think, at times too between them. It was a big moment because it was another Rock Hogan moment. It was two guys from two generations, the biggest stars of their generations, two of the biggest stars of all time. If you do WWE Mount Rushmore, they're probably on it, and they're finally going to go one-on-one. The build-up for the following year, 29, was the fact that, you know, Cena had lost to Rock. He wanted his win back. Now Rock is champion. Cena wins the Rumble. So there's a lot more that's involved. So I would say 29 does get it over 28. And it's because of the fact that the title is involved now.
And I do like the fact, and but I mean, besides the title being involved, what I like about the 29 match too is Cena's story going into that match. So he loses to Rock at 28, and he has what he calls himself his worst career as a professional wrestler. And he wins Money in the Bank, but he doesn't cash it in successfully. Yeah. You know, he has several title matches. He can't win. And the only way he's getting to Mania to face The Rock is if he wins the Royal Rumble, and he does it. And then he gets to the Royal Rumble, and then he finally beats Rock and wins the title. Kind of gets that monkey off his back. It kind of gets that stigma of that year, that stink of that year that he's had, which is horrible, ever since he lost to The Rock. So him beating The Rock, he had to beat The Rock to get it all, just to get that monkey off his back. Like, yeah, this year has been horrible for me. I need to beat The Rock to end it. And I thought that was great.
The only thing that I will say about the two is that going into 29, you knew John Cena was winning. Going into 28, it was like, who's going to win this match? And I thought that John Cena would win. And when Rock won, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know, kind of surprised at that.
Well, the fact that he was the part-timer, right? And Cena was the full-timer, yeah. Right?
And he did, you know, announce that he was going to go after the title again. He didn't do that until, you know, the following Royal Rumble. It's kind of a big difference, but I think 29 is still better. But I liked that in 28, you at least didn't know who was going to win.
Right. There was the air of unpredictability where you're like, okay, well, Rock won. Cena's definitely coming back and taking this title, right? Because The Rock's not going to be defending it while he's making these movies at the time. Yeah. So, all right. First round down, we got our four brackets. Our next rounds are set. A lot of Hogan's in this inside the bracket. Triple H, a lot of
Undertaker.
It's a lot of domination, and you know what? Don't care. Like it. I like the way this played out. It was great. We got some good first round matches. Just to give you a preview: Hogan Andre, Hogan Warrior, Hogan Savage, Hart Piper, HBK and Razor, Steamboat Savage. Look at that one. Okay, we got Austin and Hart from 13 against TLC 2. We have the Triangle Ladder match from 2000 against Rock Hogan from 18. That's a second round matchup. That's gonna be. Ooh, we're gonna have some debates here. We got Batista Taker, Money in the Bank. Okay. We have Angle and Eddie against Austin Rock from 19. All right. We have the Boneyard match against End of an Era, Hell in a Cell. We have Brock and Reigns, Rock and Cena. We have Rock and Austin, their last match ever against Angle versus Eddie. I mean, we got some good ones. We have the 25 Taker and HBK up against the Triple Threat from WrestleMania 20. I mean, we got some good matchups here. We got some good discussions that need to be had here.
Tough choices to make.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it. Remember, next week, we are going through that second round. Where did you fall in this first round? Did you agree with our picks? Did you have any disagreements? Would you have went another way with any of them? Or the ones that we chose for maybe a little bit of the upsets? Would you have chose your own upsets? Are there matches that we left out? And don't get me wrong, Kofi and Daniel Bryan was on the I wanted to include another women's match. The women's three-way from 32, I think, couldn't be overlooked. You know, and we talked about the match from... Forgive me, Warrior Savage from WrestleMania 7.
We also left off Bret Hart versus Owen Hart from WrestleMania 10, which a lot of people say is the best opening WrestleMania match.
It is the best opening WrestleMania match, and I immediately regret it because I didn't remember it until you just said that just now. So now, oof, that is tough. That is tough. That is a great match. That is a great match. But yes, if you want to talk about opening matches, that is the standard right there. But absolutely. I mean, listen, there was stuff that we left out. There was stuff that we chose. There was stuff that you may have think that is questionable that we chose to put in this bracket. And again, at Wrestling Guys PC, let us know all your questions, all your comments, all your concerns, all your comments. Like, do you agree with this? Do you disagree with this? Are you going to text, you know, tweet us and be like, why the hell did you leave off this and this match? Let us know. That's the whole point. Discussion is key here. That's what we want to hear from you guys. But our second round is set and it's happening. And we got Fastlane coming up. We have AEW Revolution coming up this Sunday.
Are you going to be watching? What do you think of the exploding barbed wire death match?
I mean, John Moxley's about to be a father. Like, what's wrong with this guy? listen, obviously, they're going to play it safe, right? They're not going to be doing the Japanese death matches of old. Right. I'm surprised they want to go that route. And listen, it's different. So kudos to being different. I look forward to it. I want to see how they're going to pull it off. And, you know, to me, as look at as big as a fan as I am, and maybe that's the older Fizz now, who's a dad himself, being like, damn, I hope none of these guys get fucking hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I really don't want to see that happen. I hope they pull it off, and I hope they do it safely, and I hope it's a good match. I'm gonna throw it back at you. Paul White announces that they have a Hall of Fame worthy signing that's gonna appear at the event. Who do you think it's gonna be? Rumor has it that it's Batista, but Batista shot that down earlier today, saying he's retired.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's Batista. Plus, he's already in the Hall of Fame, so. I don't know if that means Hall of Fame worthy, meaning it is a Hall of Fame or somebody who could be. I don't know who it could be. It's another signing, so I assume it's someone that is going to be, you know, on the roster or a regular wrestler for them. Immediately, and I'm probably dead wrong, but immediately I thought Aleister Black.
Really? But there hasn't been any indication of him being released.
No, that's why I'm probably wrong, but that was just a name that popped in to my head. I can't really think of anybody else who it might be. Unless it's not a wrestling Hall of Famer. Unless it's somebody else like Shaquille O'Neal. They signed him to a contract or something. I don't know.
Yeah, see, here's the thing with that. Sorry, so when they said Hall of... So the reason why they tipped off as Batista was Paul White, instead of saying Revolution, he said Evolution, and everyone flipped out. Like, oh, he said it on purpose. It's Batista. My initial thought was, okay, Hall of Fame worthy, who's not under contract? And I don't know why the first person that came into my mind was Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, maybe it's Kurt Angle. He's not doing anything. He got released. You know, he's probably on a Legends deal, whatever. He's going to go over. But the fact that they said Hall of Fame worthy and not Hall of Fame wrestler indicates to me it's not a Hall of Famer, current Hall of
Famer. Right, yeah,
it's somebody who's famous but not in the Hall of Fame yet.
Okay? Right.
So, and then they have another surprise entrant in their ladder match. But the person in the ladder match is not the person that they're signing. So there's going to be two different surprises during the during Revolution. I'm going to go out on a limb, when I'm talking about out on a limb, I'm way, way out on the limb, and I'm going to say it's Rick D'Amato Martel. And if I'm right, everybody that's listening owes me a six pack.
Hey, could it be Brock?
So there is rumors that it's Brock as well. I mean, Tony Khan would have to pay him a significant... I mean, he has
a lot
it.
Of money.
No, he doesn't have it, right?
Right.
You'd have to pay him a lot of money to leave Vince to go on there. And I'll be shocked if he did.
I'd be shocked, too. Maybe CM Punk finally comes back.
Well, that's another reason. So we're talking Brock, CM Punk, and Batista. Those are the top three that I've been seeing as who they think it's going to be. I don't think it's any of them.
Punk, I don't think it's Batista, no.
Right.
Batista is the less likely one.
Well, Batista's like, you know, we need to come up with a term retired for wrestlers because they never do stay retired. This is on the AEW Unrestricted podcast. Tony Khan made a comment and said, this Sunday, a major star in the world of wrestling, a huge, huge star, is going to come and sign a multi-year contract with AEW on Sunday at the pay-per-view. I can confirm what Paul said is true, and I'm not talking about the person in the ladder match. We have a great, fun sixth person in the ladder match, but the person who I'm seeing is going to come and sign a multi-year contract with AEW, the person Paul referenced. That's not the sixth person in the ladder match. Paul was talking about a big surprise, and that's no joke. What he said to you, I can confirm, is true. That's directly from Tony Khan. So,
who the hell knows?
They're playing it up like it's somebody big,
yeah.
Right? But if it's like...
It better be.
Or something like that. Yeah. Or if it is Rick D'Amato Martel, like, you guys are dicks. I love you, Rick Martel, and you should be in the Hall of Fame for the record. But you get what I'm saying. You don't say it's a huge, huge star, and then you bring out, like, Tito Santana. Okay? My guess is it's a wrestler who could still go if they're signing a multi-year deal on the same deal, maybe similar to Paul White, maybe coach wrestler who could still do it. And with that being said, and I don't want to, you know, we've been on this forever. I don't want to waste too much time. But I said this last week, too. Are they stacking their roster too much? But you had said something prior to us recording that you felt that. Well, go ahead. You said, I want to take the words out of your mouth.
Well, I know, you know, for whoever is listening, if you're an AEW hardcore fan, you're probably not going to like this. But I watch AEW. I enjoy it. But it's weak. Their roster is weak. And I know that it's guys that are trying to work their way up and trying to make a name for themselves. And some of them are fun to watch. Some of them are not. And that's just coming from somebody who sits on the couch and watches them. But that's the point, right? I mean, we're fans. We watch it, and our opinions do matter to a certain extent. And my opinion is that the AEW roster is weak. So with them wanting to sign everybody that they can, I get it. But I understand what you're saying, too, and that there's concern that they turn into WCW and just scoop up everybody that WWE lets go. And it may hurt them, but we'll see. You know, it may not, on the other hand. I just think that whoever this person is that they're bidding up, it better be worth what they're trying to do, and which is bait everybody into buying their pay-per-view this Sunday.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, and it better be worth that.
But here's the thing, and here's the problem I have with it, too. Sting signs with AEW. Oh, my God, Sting signs with AEW. This is great. Can't wait for him to wrestle, right? Edge comes back to win the Royal Rumble. So sick of these part-timers winning WWE. Vince is out of touch. Where's the distinction, right? I'm not saying – I love Sting, and I'm not saying what AEW did was bad. But you can't, you know, you can't praise what AEW is doing when they're doing the same thing almost that WWE is doing in terms of signings. I say in terms of stacking their rosters, because, like, it's a huge, huge star signing a multi-year deal. Fine. Where is he going to fit in? And where are you going to fit in your younger roster, man? I want you to bring those guys along. I want to see Jurassic Express. I want to see, you know, the Lucha Brothers. I want to see Butcher and the Blade and Eddie Kingston. I want to see those guys come along. And then you use those stars that you're signing to bring those guys up and make those guys superstars, too, because those are your AEW talent, right? I didn't hear of Eddie Kingston until I saw him cut a Dynamite promo on Dynamite and killed it and had a great match with Cody. And I love Eddie Kingston now. Mm-hmm. Show me more of those guys and put them against these stars that you're signing, the Paul Whites, the Stings, you know, those big stars, the Jerichos and all those. And let's have a crop of homegrown talent that you've brought along. And now when these guys come along and you sign them, now it's like, well, I have these guys too. Now you have your own stars to go against these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just start signing these dudes and then they start bumping these guys down the ladder. That's what I don't want to see with AEW. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anyway, with that being said, putting a bow on it, Rick the Model Martel, can't wait to see you on Sunday. Okay. That being said, as usual, and let's wrap it up here, man. It's getting late for us here. But as usual, you can get our podcast. We get all our wrestling podcasts at Wrestling Guys PC, at FPP Show. What do you guys got coming up on your next episode?
So we're going to be on the next episode, we're going to be talking about the WandaVision finale. And we'll talk about the series overall and where the MCU is going. And we're also going to be doing our top 10 movies of all time, which should be interesting. Yeah, again, more hard choices, but it should be fun.
My top 10 changes all the time. It depends on what I watched recently or what I just thought about recently. That's, I don't know, I don't envy you that in the slightest. Where's WandaVision heading? Mutantville, I'll tell you that much. X-Men are coming. All right, great. At FPP Show, at Wrestling Guys PC, we're wrapping it up here tonight. Greatest WrestleMania matches, where do you guys lie? Let us know. How do you feel about Bobby Lashley? Who was the secret wrestler signing to AEW? Is it Rick the Model Martel? Is it Brock Lesnar? Is it CM Punk?
I hope it is now.
Is it Batista? I really hope it's Martel now. And with that being said, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. Came to talk about wrestling. Drink some virtual beers. We're just about out of virtual beers. Stay safe. Wear a damn mask. Wash your damn hands. We love you.